Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org.
Barbara Russell, actress, educator, all-around fabulous Pittsburgh personality.
Yes.
I am so thrilled to have you on Berg Vivant today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Listen, I don't know if the folks know, this is a class act.
Oh, no.
Oh, listen, the buffet. Cured eggs, lobster, eye of newt, the dressing room, flour.
Oh, and clearly you enjoyed the champagne. They're still clearing up empty bottles in there.
No, I saved one. I'm taking it home later.
Do, yes. It's all part of the perks of being here on Berg Vivant. But, you know, we can begin in so many places with you've had an illustrious career here in Pittsburgh.
I've been lucky.
Are you from here originally?
No. Well, yes, this area, but I was born in Grafton, PA, which is a suburb of Blacklick, PA, which is near Indiana, PA. But Grafton doesn't exist anymore. It's now sort of the runoff if there is a flood for, you know, dams, the flood control.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were ever really famous and they wanted to say birthplace, it would have to be a buoy in the middle of the lake.
Where that is now. Peak. Well, that's kind of an honor.
Born here.
Ups and downs on the waves. It could be a metaphor for one's career.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is that a metaphor for your career?
Not really. No, because I've been very lucky. Theater is one of the things that I do. And I've been able to always do theater. Started in junior high, and I played money bags in some sort of a show. And I remember I had to have a great big bag, which was the beginning of one of the many glamour roles that I've had in my career. And one of the reasons that I drifted toward theater and was very lucky with it was that I was 5'10 and a half in sixth grade.
Mm.
And I was not real popular with the boys. So theater in high school was pretty much where I was directed and where I, you know, got attention. And one of the reasons I was taller than a lot of the boys in the class, I also was wearing Rose Bernini's clothes. She was a friend of my mother's. And she was tall, and she made her own clothes and was passed on to me. And I remember one of the coats was sort of like plaid, red and like white and green plaid. And the pockets were gigantic, and the bows were like garbage can lids. And there was a bow on it that looked like a propeller, okay? And this was my, you know, my winter coat. So I was a little odd looking, maybe, very tall and funny, and that's scary, you know.
But hey, those are ingredients for success, apparently.
Well, that we also in high school had a wonderful English teacher who usually is in charge of theater, and she didn't do regular high school shows. She did The Man Who Came to Dinner, she did Brother Rat, she did shows that were on Broadway, and she also made us a great deal of discipline that you have to use in the theater. I mean, we had to know our words, rehearsals started on time. She ran a professional high school drama department. And then from there, I went to State Teachers College, Indiana. And again, started to do theater, and because of my height, and maybe my tendency towards the comedy, I always got the character roles. I mean, you know, 5'10" without shoes isn't going to be the ingenue. So I got all the really good roles.
Wow.
Loved it.
And now, how did you get from there to probably what most Pittsburghers might know you from is the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Show?
Because of Don. He was on the show. I got to know Fred, and then Fred chose to use me, but not as a regular character. I was Linda Dingleborder, a mother who worked at the time when Fred wanted to show working mothers. I was Barbara Boomerang Frisbee.
That's a name.
Isn't that nice? Thank you. She appeared only in the neighborhood, and she and Lady Elaine didn't quite hit it off. So that's where wonderful conflict.
Lady Elaine has always struck me as maybe a tough personality to be on camera with.
Yeah.
But you had a good rapport?
Well, we pretty much kept trying to top one another all the time. And I could be a little sarcastic with her as she was with me. So it was very comfortable. I liked the role a lot.
That voice, was it Fred Rogers doing her voice?
Mm-hmm.
I thought so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did Lady Elaine. He did.
Who was she based on?
Do you know? I don't know.
Because it just seemed like...
Except that I'm going to have to ask Joanne, his wife, who I see pretty regularly. I'm going to find out.
So distinct and had such a look to her that I can only liken to Rod Stewart in my... basis of comparison in life, you know, but a lot of good characters on that show.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, for the young ones who may not remember as clearly as you and I do, Don Brockett was probably one of the most beloved Pittsburgh personalities next
Indeed.
To Fred Rogers, and you and he had a comedy duo for many years. And on the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Show, he played a recurring character, Chef Brockett.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, growing up, that's the only way I knew him.
Sure.
I thought he was an actual chef.
Uh-huh.
And
that's acting.
Well, right. But then as I got older and I'd see him in the news, you know, out at charity events and out performing and things like that, I thought to myself, wow, this chef really is a man about town. He is quite a talent, and yet gets up at 4 a.m. to make bread. What a guy.
I know. God bless him. Except the only thing he ever made was egg salad.
That's
the only thing he could make. And it was just with mayonnaise, a little salt, a little pepper. No celery, no onions.
Hmm.
Egg salad. That's what he made.
Of all things. Mm-hmm. I guess it's easy. Boil, chop, mix.
Chop, that's it. Done.
Mm-hmm. Well,
put
secrets.
It in a nice plate.
Right. The presentation is everything. But tell me about the comedy duo, Brockett and Barbara.
Whoa.
Or Barbara and Brockett.
Brockett and Barbara. Okay. Don, oh my, so talented. Actor, writer, director, producer, got the jobs, PR person. Excellent. I mean, if his name wasn't in the paper at least 3 times a week, he was very upset. He worked constantly on who he was, his act, the other shows that he was producing. But he and I got together, and he said, because he had had a problem with his hips whenever he was a kid, and he was in Watson Home for Crippled Children for like 2 years, trying to straighten it out. And so he had pretty much an awkward gait, and he was in pain a great deal at the time. In fact, he had 5 operations. He had his knees replaced, and he had them replaced again. He had a hip replaced. He had a hip fall apart in a parking lot, had it replaced. But when he finally did get his knees done and his hip, he said for the first time in his life, he was lying in bed after the operation. He said instead of his feet like that, his feet were finally like this. One of the things that was fascinating about him was that he also worked at Jennerstown, which is how we got together.
The Playhouse there.
Yes, in the Mountain Playhouse. That he was there, he was a choreographer No, pardon me? A choreographer, there's no, with those legs? And he did most of it by working with dancers and telling them what to do. Or this, okay? turn around and then do here and come 3-4.
That's as technical as it got with Brockett Choreography Company.
Okay, all right. But we had, for me it was cakes and ale, because I learned my words, said them, got my money, and went home. He insisted on being in charge, and which was fine by me. And he had seen me in a play at the Playhouse, Pittsburgh Playhouse, and a musical, and said to a friend of mine who related to me later, that's a funny woman, I want to work with her. So he was choreographing Paint Your Wagon at Jennerstown, which is, you know, there are women that are the prostitutes who come in. He asked me if I wanted to go up to the Mountain Playhouse to do stock for a week. The answer is yes. I mean, any actor.
To play a loose woman and
to
Paint
play
Your Wagon.
The madam, hello.
Well, if you're going to be among them, you may as well be in charge. Yes.
But they don't come in till like 1:19. I mean, it's a man show. So I said yes while I was there. He said, do you want to do a comedy act with me? Again, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he convinced the people who are the Stoughtons, who were running the Mountain Playhouse, that we auditioned a show that was going to be at the end of the season. He wanted to close the season. They had a very long season. It was in October, with a show called Who Needs a Show Train? At that time, you took a train to New York to see shows. This is back before you were born, okay?
Could be.
And so the shows that were on Broadway then, Dawn did, took parts from them. And you know, you don't have to go to New York. We're going to do the show right here for you. Who needs a show train? He hired a dancer and another, and a singer, real singer. When it came time to do the show, Dawn had completely rewritten it so that it was parodies of all the shows.
I like it.
Now, that says two things. That says his talent. It also says Dawn was a merchant. He's not paying royalties for any of those, is he now? He's also using his talent. He's also putting in comedy. So it was, we did our show. It was a wonderful success. We came to Pittsburgh, worked at Colonial Manor, which was out sort of near Greensburg. Mm-hmm. We did a show there, and there were six of us. And after that show, Dawn said, you know, mostly they're talking about the comedy that we're doing. So how about if it's just the two of us? And our first show with just the two of us was at King Edward, which is Nino's, in the King Edward Apartments, on a stage no bigger than this table that was brought out for the show in their back room.
Wow.
And the show was called 2+ Tax. And that's what it cost to come see us.
I like it.
Yeah, it worked. And Tax was our piano player.
Brilliant.
Yeah. It
very
really,
clever.
And from then on. And Dawn wrote the material, he could do segues. And when we're talking about PR, if we went to New York and did those Monday night showcases, okay, what they offer you is an opportunity to maybe get an agent in, maybe. All of your friends, okay, it's dark at the club anyway that you're working on Monday night. They don't have any performers. You can get other actor friends because they're not performing on Monday. And you're not getting paid either. Mm-hmm. You're there for the opportunity to do your material in New York. Well, when we came back from something like that, Dawn absolutely promoted it. When we were at the Bon Soir in New York, when we were at upstairs, performing at upstairs and the downstairs, which is his PR. You know, we were there for one night, okay? Dawn was able to, promote it like crazy. It was brilliant.
Now, were you two working on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood while you were doing the comedy scene?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And
did he act up on set? Was he a character?
Oh, on the set with Fred?
Yeah.
Fred ran a very tight ship.
Seems like that, yeah.
Very tight ship. It was very important that the message of the show be out. And he was very well trained. He was also, he had Margaret McFarlane, who was a name in child psychology. Still, she's no longer with us, but going over his scripts, mm-hmm. you know, so that they were correct. And so there was a lot of screaming with laughter and sliding down walls at rehearsals. But the show, no.
The show was tight.
No, no. The show was definitely very important that everyone have the same outlook. In fact, Fred never did personal appearances.
Hmm.
And not because he was above doing them, but he said his focus when he was doing the show was he's talking to one child, so the child thinks he's talking to me.
They would shatter that illusion.
If he had to, he would not be able to do that. He would not be able to be there for each of those children.
Wow.
So he...
That's a master at work.
Yeah, yeah, he was amazed. He also had a terrific sense of humor. He was...
I've heard that, yeah.
Loads of fun to be with. Loads of fun.
Now, Pittsburgh will have a very special opportunity to see you on stage coming up here very soon on April 6th here at the Carnegie Music Hall
here
in Carnegie,
where we are
holding the interview today. As a event for the Pittsburgh New Works Festival, you will be premiering a staged reading of a work entitled What'll We Do About Sue? And this is by Harry Colley.
Harry,
I believe, is a friend of yours. Is this?
Oh, very good friend. In fact, he worked here in Pittsburgh. He and Jack Zaharia and Nancy Chesney, who was a teacher at Point Park.
Yes, yes.
And a superb actor. Is she good? Owned Apple Hill. They ran Apple Hill Playhouse for years and years and years. Harry then, he's a writer, playwright, and producer, went to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And he began writing for Carol Burnett. He wrote for a whole bunch of people. He had plays produced, and he had written two plays and sent them to me, and they were two character plays. This one is the one that we've chosen to do, and it's about, you can't do both of them of an evening, because, and they're two very different plays, because of the length. This play is probably about 50 minutes long.
Mm.
And I decided that I would love to have done a staged reading. It's two people and learning all them words for one night. That's too scary for me anymore.
But you'll be performing this with Bingo O'Malley,
who is
Pittsburgh's grandfather of good drama and theater.
Yes.
Have you worked with Bingo before?
Never.
Really?
This is why I'm doing this.
What an experience to see these two dramatic powerhouses on stage together. We can't miss this.
But it's a very funny play.
And Harry Colley, he won the Writers Guild of America Award for a film that he wrote called There Were Times, Dear, and that starred Len Carew and Shirley Jones. The names of his pieces all strike me as like old-time songs that I'd like. You know, There Were Times, Dear, What'll We Do About Sue? You know, I think I'd like to meet this guy.
Oh, you'd love him.
Yep.
He's wonderful. Oh, stories out the gicky. I mean, he's known everybody in Hollywood. And
so he, you know, if I'm hearing you correctly, he essentially wrote this piece with you in mind?
I'm going to say yes, but that's not
true. Let's go ahead and say it, but
yes,
that's not true. Do you know for a fact that's not true?
I don't think so.
Oh, right. But you're premiering it.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's never been done.
This is great.
And it's a funny play. I will tell you this as maybe a little tease, that once again, a glamour role. I'm kind of a bag lady in the play, and... I really have to think about my costume, you know, for a bag lady.
But now you told me off camera that you are a quilter. This is one of your hobbies.
Yes.
So I'm sure you can, you know, stitch something together.
Or rip something apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Just make it a little distressed.
I think this is not going to be as hard.
As
it's probably, yeah. You,
be easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably even have some clothes at home that I could use.
So we're looking forward to seeing what you come up with for this. And, you know, it won't be the most outrageous role you've played. I believe you worked with Mr. Romero in a zombie film.
Yeah, I bit someone's throat out.
Wow, that's showbiz for you.
Thank you. Thank you. In fact, true story, it took 2 hours for my makeup because I was a zombie who became a zombie. I don't know. While I was at a beauty parlor. So I still am wearing the hood. Remember when the hair dryers, you had the hood
attached
to the machine?
Yes.
So I have the hood, which meant they didn't have to do my hair. Okay, so I had the hood on. And then I had the tube here, and I had some kind of schmata dress. And I was supposed to look like somebody had taken a baseball bat and hit me right here across the face so that my eyes were all swollen. And then, you know, there's all that puckery skin stuff and like sore, suppurating sores. And I have my makeup on, but I have to tell you that I do not visit people in the hospital if they're the color gray, if they have tubes attached, or if they're going, because it makes me faint. I will not watch operations. You may not tell me about how you had, you know, your eye removed and put back in. I will faint. So I'm watching them do this to my face, and I'm about ready to faint.
I couldn't. Looking at yourself.
I couldn't stand it. And I told them, I said, I have to leave for a minute. I said, I'm sure it's the acetate. Because, you know, they put that into your skin and then it puckers up.
Oh, yeah.
I said, I'm sure it's the fumes, okay? Well, it wasn't. I had to go in the bathroom and keep sneaking peeks at myself in the mirror so I could look at myself. And then it came time to bite someone's throat out. Now, when you talk about special effects, I've always been, you know, in Mr. Rogers, the thing, picture, where they would go and show you how crayons are made and, you know, how they make bicycles. That was Industry on Parade, my favorite shows. So I'm fascinated by how they're doing this stuff. Tom Savini was working on this movie with his crew, and I was to bite someone right here, okay? And then blood, then I get shot in the back of the head.
Wow, that's quite a day on set.
Please, I'm an actor. And what fascinated me was the prosthesis that they made for this guy. He had not shaved. They inserted little teeny hairs so it looked exactly the same color. Now that's for how much time? Not even 3 seconds. And it was that kind of detail. Oh, I was fascinated. Mm. I was fascinated. But a side story for that, whenever my son was in college, he was at West Virginia University, a percussion major, and the first day you get up and introduce yourself, and he said, my name's Aaron Russell, I'm from Pittsburgh, PA, I'm a percussion major, and my mother was just in a George Romero movie where she bit someone's throat out. And that got everyone's attention, okay? But what got him status was when he said, and I get to call Mr. Rogers Fred.
Mm.
And that was like, ooh, wow.
So, zombies are cool, but Fred Rogers is cooler.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
So ripping out one's throat, is that on your resume? As a special talent?
Oh, man. See, I know you do PR. I'm going to have you look at my resume.
Yeah.
Because maybe we should rewrite it.
Well, like I told you, I looked you up online today, and IMDb says that you were on MacGyver. But you don't recall this, so we think that that might be a mistake.
I think probably that's a mistake. Or if nobody would catch it, we'll leave it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Sure. You know who we need on MacGyver this week? Is that gal that played the elephant on Roger's Neighborhood.
Or with, you know, Betty Chichapipchits or, yeah, Virginia Manor.
Barbara Boomerang.
Yeah, we need
her. She always keeps coming back.
Yeah.
You throw her out, she comes right back around. Well, you know, I think I'm going to intro your show here.
Yeah.
So I can put that in there, too. I can, you know.
You can do, yeah. Remember, the show's 50 minutes long, so your intro should not be
longer than 50 minutes.
Thank you.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yes.
That would be good.
But we are looking forward to it, Barbara, seeing you and Bingo O'Malley together on stage for Pittsburgh New Works here at the Carnegie Music Hall in Carnegie. And it was a delight chatting with you today.
My
I hope
pleasure.
We get to talk again. Yeah, and take some hors d'oeuvre home with you, you know, from the buffet.
That's, and the flowers?
Can yes, they the are flowers? All for you. All 25 bouquets, darling.
So thank you.
And we are too to be seeing you on stage April 6th. Thank you again so
thank
much.
You.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.